It's time to get going. It's snowing out, but I'm here. And that will make everything better on a snowy day. The fact that we've got a show until 7 o'clock today, and I've got all kinds of great guests, starting with Paul Costanzo, who couldn't join us yesterday, but is with us today to discuss the topsy-turvy world of college basketball. Let's see. Baylor, Gonzaga, San Diego State, all lost on Saturday. Ohio State beat Maryland in the Big Ten, which actually kind of reopened things up in the Big Ten. And then Duke loses to Wake Forest in an NBA All-Star score game.
Yeah, typically when you go to another, like a second overtime in one of those games, that's when the better, deeper team starts to run away. That's not what we saw last night. Wake Forest ran away from Duke, but craziness, absolute craziness. In a college basketball season that has already been pretty ridiculous as is. So it's just fun to see that continuing into the end of February.
Yeah, well, so this sets it up for, you know, when we get the NCAA tournament going here in March, for complete upset city craziness, and you watch. Every higher seed will win this year.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? This will be the year that everybody picks everything in their bracket because there's no like true favorite, and then Kansas will just walk to the championship. It's just such a bizarre year where there really is no dominant team, and some of the dominant powers from like past years and even the recent past, like North Carolina, Virginia, they just aren't that good this year, and it's really flipped college basketball up on its head.
And but that, again, for me, that this should make things a little more interesting. Normally, when we get to March and the tournament starts, I don't get into it as much as everybody else does, because to me, there's always like two or three clear-cut teams that should make it to the Final Four, unless there's a huge upset. We don't usually get huge upsets. We get upsets. You know, and then there's that team that everybody falls in love with because they win a couple of games, but you know that they're not a threat to win the national championship. And so I just kind of, while everybody else is getting really interested in it, I kind of fade a little bit. I enjoy more the end of the regular season, like what we have in the Big Ten, the end of the regular season here and going into the Big Ten tournament, where thanks to Maryland losing and thanks to Michigan State and Maryland having a heads-up game, there's still things up for grabs, and there's still things to play for.
Yeah, and those regular season championships are the better indicator of who the best teams are, too, right? I mean, that's one thing about college basketball. It's the most fun tournament that we have, but it's probably the worst way to figure out who the best team is. I can definitely see what you're saying there. And this part of the season is a lot of fun. Because you not only have the top of the conference jockeying going on and those big games and big home atmospheres, but you've got all the bubble teams fighting for something and trying to keep their hopes alive. So there's a lot of desperate play at the end of February and early March. So I do enjoy this time quite a bit, too.
Yeah, because games for Michigan, Penn State, just about everybody up and down the conference. There's like three teams in this conference that aren't trying to get into the tournament.
Well, not only that, but I think there's something like nine teams that have a chance at a double bye in the first round, or the nine teams that could be as high as the two seed or something crazy in the Big Ten tournament this year. I mean, we've talked about it a lot all season, about how tight it is and how they've all beat each other up. And what it's turned into is a bunch of teams with five, six, seven losses that are all stuck right there. So it should. It should make a very exciting next couple of weeks for us.
You know, and Michigan is helping out because they're back to playing really good basketball lately. This is their best stretch since the 7-0 start. Might be their best stretch of the season. Just the way that they're winning the games and playing. And then Michigan State with back-to-back wins. The Michigan State's win last night against Iowa, that was really important. And that could be like their moment this season that gets them going back in the right direction.
It could. I feel like we said that like six times this year with Michigan State's basketball team. Like, every time it looks like, all right, here they go, and then something happens and they fall back and lose a game or two that they shouldn't. But the big thing last night, you know, Rocket Watts, you know, had a big night scoring. Henry had a big night scoring, along with Cassius Winston. And, you know, they were scoring efficiently. Xavier Tillman did an incredible job defensively on Garza. And I know that he still had 20-9, but, I mean, it was he was well under 50% shooting from the field, which is not a good night for him. And so
he was 6 or 7 points below his scoring average.
Yeah, he's averaged 26 a game, right? And he had 20. I really think that it was a vintage Izzo Michigan State game, right? The way that they played that one, they toughed it out. They were down, came back in the second half and won it. You know, riding that momentum in the crowd. But again, it's, can they keep that going? Can they finally now take this momentum and turn it into something more than just a couple game win streak? Like I think we've all been waiting for them to do.
Well, the stat that really stands out for me, you know, I like my stats, but last night at halftime, Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman had a combined 1 point.
Yeah.
You don't think that, I mean, you just don't expect Michigan State to win that basketball game. And yet, Winston found a way to score 19 in the second half and finish with 20. And I understand Xavier's numbers were down last night, but that's because his focus was on stopping Garza, or at least containing Garza, and he did his job. And he finished with 6 points and six rebounds. He also became the all-time shot block leader in Spartan history with a couple last night.
Yeah, passing Matt Costello, which surprised me that he was the all-time leader in blocks. Although I guess some of their best shot blockers probably didn't play more than a year or two, so that could be part of the reason.
If you were going to ask me, I would have put my money on Draymond Green or Payne or somebody like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised Jaren Jackson didn't get it all in the one season he played, the more I think about it.
So, you know, that's one of the things, because I don't want to stop guys from going to the NBA and making a living. And I'm one of the ones that kind of frowns upon the way college basketball and college football capitalize on their athletes. You know, they make a lot of money. And I get it, the kid's supposed to be getting an education, but we all know that the one-and-doners aren't at college to get an education. They're at college because that's the way they get to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I just – sometimes you really wish a kid would play 2 or 3 years before he went pro.
Oh, for sure. It's fun to look back on, like, what would this team have been like if this guy and this guy stayed till they were juniors. You know what I mean? And you can do that with a lot of different teams. But that means in college basketball certainly would be a ton of fun if you had that rule. But, you know, they gotta go when they have to go. Jaren Jackson did have I mean, I'd like to see the numbers, I guess, from the single season, because 157, I think, was the number that Tillman got to for a career. Jackson had a lot, like he was certainly on pace for that in 1 year.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, think when they say a lot of numbers at Michigan State, and my brain says, oh, that's got to be Magic Johnson. And then my brain says, well, wait a minute, Magic was only there. That's right. Why he's farther down on the list, because he only played, you know, for a year. It's like, You'd think he'd be a lot higher on those lists, but then you realize he couldn't be.
That it's fun to think Zion Williamson will not be at any career record at Duke. You know, won't be the case. He was pretty good though when he was there.
Oh, I know, and but you do you find yourself doing that? You know, like somebody asks you, "Well, who's this guy?" And you, "Oh, it's got to be," and then you're like, "Oh, no, it couldn't be."
Mm-hmm.
He's the greatest player to ever play there, but he only played there for a year.
Right.
So it's impossible to put up the big numbers that some guys do. But it has been a really, really outrageously weird season. So what do you expect Saturday night? I know you hate predicting it because every time you say something, the opposite happens. But every time you say something, it makes sense to me. Does that help a little? Does that inspire you any?
It helps me feel better. Yeah, yeah.
So Michigan State, Maryland, do the Spartans have any chance of going in there and getting the win?
Yeah, I mean, with what they have, the talent that they have, the team that they have, what we saw from them last night, they have a chance to go into any place and win a game, I think. Now, will that team show up, or will it be the team that we've seen far too often this season that's not getting good enough production out of its secondary guys? Because Cassius Winston's not going to go into Maryland and beat that team on his own, right? Sure, he can take over the game if other guys are doing some stuff, but they're going to need the type of effort from Henry and from Watts and those other guys to win that game. So can they? Yes. Will they? Like you said, I've done predicting Big Ten games. It's not a thing I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, you have to like the fact that Watts and Henry both have a big game, the game before you go to Maryland. So, I mean, the confidence shouldn't be an issue.
No, it really, really shouldn't. And that's big, you know. Because with so many of those guys, I mean, they're all very, very good basketball players. And sometimes it's just, you know, seeing that shot go in and being confident. So if they can carry that over, then, yeah, they got a real good shot at knocking off Maryland and tightening up this Big Ten race somehow even more.
All right. Always fun to talk with you, Paul, and glad you're feeling better today.
Well, thank you. Tell Shook I said hi.
I will do that. Matt will be joining us next here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. We'll be back in just a moment.